Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Great things he has done. And Heavenly Father, we do praise you. And as we come to look at your word today, open our hearts and minds with joy, with expectation of what it might say to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I think one of the things that I have learnt as an adult, I think I was a bit shyer in school, but one of the things that I've learnt as an adult is that it's good to ask questions. Never to be afraid to ask a question. And if I am away somewhere or if I'm listening to someone and I'm not sure, I'm quite happy to stick my hand up and say, can you explain that? Or maybe can you answer that? And often what you find is that other people are thinking the same thing. So I think it's good to ask questions. What does this mean? How does it work? What happens if I do this? How did that come about? It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But by asking questions, that's how we all learn. No matter what we do in life, we had to start somewhere and we had to ask a question or to think it out for ourselves, and we learn from that. Nowadays, there are so many ways that we can have our questions answered. Not only can we talk to other people, but we can go and get books and manuals about anything and everything in life. We can go to Google, we can go to Wikipedia, we can go to YouTube, and we can search, and very often the answer is there for us to learn from. And when it comes to matters of faith, as we will see in today's passage, asking questions is really important too. So often we see someone asking Jesus a question, even his own disciples who have been with Jesus for a period of time still ask questions, and they are opportunities for them and for us to learn. And in my mind, there is no question we can't ask about God, or I believe find an answer to in the Bible. That's our manual, that's our place of reference as God's people to turn to find answers, from the big questions of life to the more routine daily ones. Why am I here? Who created us? Who created the world? What does God say about caring for animals? It even tells us in the Bible what kind of car the disciples drove. Did you know that was a question? What kind of car? Well, apparently it was a Honda, because all the disciples were in one accord. I'm sorry, that's really bad. I'm not sure that's there, actually. But the point is that the same principle applies before. It's by asking questions that we grow and deepen our faith. That's the important point as we come to today's passage from John chapter 3. As we will find, it reveals a big question. It reveals a really important question and an equally important answer. So as always, can I encourage us to follow along in the Pew Bible or the weekly sheets as we come to this passage. It's an important one. As we pick up the passage, which continues our journey through John's Gospel, we now come across a Pharisee called Nicodemus. Now, a Pharisee was someone who belonged to a very, very strict Jewish religious sect. They saw themselves as superior to all other Jews, that they were the ones who had the answers, you might say. And verse 10 suggests that Nicodemus, who comes to talk to Jesus in the dead of night, isn't that interesting? Why is he talking to Jesus in the dead of night? Maybe he couldn't get Jesus during the day. Or maybe he was afraid to talk and to be seen talking to Jesus. And verse 2 reveals to us perhaps why. Because it tells us that Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders. So that adds a layer of curiosity before me. He was one of the Pharisees whose job it was to teach people about God and the things of God. So a little kind of sub story there of curiosity. And as we pick up the passage, do follow along. In the first couple of verses, as we have heard, Nicodemus flatters Jesus. "You're a great rabbi. You're a great teacher. You're a great sign giver. You do some amazing miracles. And you couldn't do any of these if God wasn't with you." So on some level, Nicodemus is recognizing who Jesus is. And it's another nice reminder again by John that Jesus truly is the Son of God. That's what John's purpose is to underline again and again that Jesus truly is God's Son. And as we reach verse 3, Jesus makes a very interesting statement. And again, notice it is with great assurance we are told. He says, "I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see, or she cannot see, the kingdom of God." It's a statement you often see outside many churches, or sometimes along the side of the road, more often from the King James Version. "Ye must be born again." Has anyone ever seen those signs along the road or outside some of the churches or indeed gospel halls in our community? "Ye must be born again." Have you ever wondered what that means? Well, if we have, Nicodemus in verse 4 asks that question, which is very helpful for us. How can a man or a woman be born again when he or she is old? Can they enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born? Great question, Nicodemus. It's really helpful as we ask ourselves what it means to be born again. Nicodemus has heard and taken Jesus literally. Literally. Which causes confusion in his mind. And he is right. We can't be physically born again. What we have learned from John, though, so far, is that as he writes, it operates on two levels. It operates on the earthly, more straightforward, literal level, and then there is the deeper, symbolic level behind what John writes. And we've seen that in each passage to date. We know from the last couple of chapters that there is the surface reading and the symbolic meaning. So as we apply that principle or that formula, what might the symbolic meaning be as Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again? Well, for me, as we apply the passage to our lives, the explanation that Jesus gives is the same for us. It is as if we are asking that question to Jesus. So the passage is key. It's really important in understanding something that is at the very heart, something that is the very basis of the Christian faith. So Nicodemus could be us standing there asking the question to Jesus. In verses 5 to 8, Jesus explains what it means to Nicodemus. And the broad explanation is that Jesus, we find, is not talking about a physical rebirth. He is talking about a spiritual rebirth. We are made up of lots of component parts: body, mind, emotions, and spirit. So we're a little step closer, but it's still a little bit confusing. So we need to tease out a little bit more, without going into great detail, I suppose, as to what Jesus means. Essentially, Jesus is exposing Nicodemus's spiritual needs. This passage is exposing our spiritual needs. In spiritual terms, Nicodemus is damaged goods. Looks good on the outside, but on the inside, he is damaged goods. On the outside, we look physically good, maybe. But on the inside, each of us, the Bible reveals, is spiritually damaged goods. Not fit or suitable for inclusion in God's kingdom, to be counted one of God's children spiritually. Shocking, maybe, do you think? upsetting? Does that make you angry to hear those words? Is it hard to hear those words? Is it worrying to hear those words? That Nicodemus, who represents us in this story, are spiritually damaged goods. Thankfully, though, thankfully Jesus continues on. And what he says reveals to Nicodemus, it reveals to us in the simplest terms, that that does not have to be. That we can spiritually be born again. Spiritually reborn with God at the heart of our lives. In our first spiritual birth, when we are all born, the Bible teaches we are born into sin. We cannot be anything other than that. We are born to certain spiritual death. But, God offers through Christ alone a second chance. And we're going to hear about that in a moment. This second spiritual chance gives us all a second opportunity to be spiritually reborn again, this time for all of time. This time for all of time. What does it mean to be spiritually reborn, to be born again? It means a renewed relationship with our Heavenly Father. It means experiencing God's grace in a deeper way. It means a closer relationship with God. It means a place assuredly in God's kingdom today and for eternity. The passage finishes with the consequences of this new spiritual rebirth to which we are called by faith through Jesus, through Christ alone, as we're going to sing in a few moments. And as we finish the passage, we don't know how Nicodemus responds. Doesn't actually tell us how he responds. One hopes that he listened to Jesus and that he understands, and that as someone who was born again, spiritually saved, it tells us, that he went back and shared that message as a leader of the Pharisees. We don't know. But what we can know today is how each of us respond to the call to be spiritually reborn again. We can know our need to repent, to come back to God, to confess our sins before God, and to know our need of Him and that assurance of spiritual rebirth. That is what we can know today from this passage. We can know how each of us understands and responds to the passage and to our own need to be spiritually reborn. So this passage for me is a challenge for all of us to be born again spiritually into a new and deeper relationship with our Heavenly Father. And as the passage closes, I want to read to us its closing words. They answer the question as to how God feels about each one of us today. These closing verses reveal the very intimate heart of God who loves us dearly. They reveal to us the God who wants us to come to Him, to live our lives without fear of Him, to be joyful in our relationship with Him now and for eternity. The God who constantly calls us to be saved, to be spiritually reborn, but who respects our free will to accept or reject His offer of being made spiritually new. That bit always lies in our hands. It's our own personal choice. God does not force people into a relationship with Him. It is our choice whether we respond or not. So as I finish, can I encourage us to listen carefully, indeed to listen prayerfully to the closing words that Jesus says to Nicodemus, and to ask ourselves this important question: how do I respond to what Jesus says and calls each of us to do today? John 3, verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. As we respond, we stand now and sing the wonderful words, "In Christ alone, my hope is found." What do these words mean to each of us today? Amen.